Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I hadn't heard that song in years, but I remember as a kid hearing that song, Hand in Hand. Hand in Hand. That's the way we're going to make it, isn't it? Stay hand in hand with Jesus. Not hand in hand with the world or sin or any of those things. I was thinking, Sister Mag was singing that song. Years ago, I read a story about a man that was running out through a field, and he was chasing pleasure. He was trying to catch up with pleasure. And while he was chasing pleasure out in this field, he saw a lonely stranger begin to approach him, reached out his hand. That man saw a nail print in that hand. And so he just reached out and took hold of that stranger's hand. Of course, that was Jesus. And the story said, as soon as he put his hand in the hand of Jesus, here come pleasure right up on the other side and got his hand. Because the Bible said, at the Lord's right hand, there is pleasures evermore. Not sinful pleasures, but true pleasure. So when you get your hand in God's hand, you'll have all the pleasure and all the joy that you'd ever need in life. Amen. But it's all in Jesus tonight. Amen. We are so glad to be here. Appreciate your giving tonight. Appreciate the invitation to come back again this year. And we love the Kegley family and all the folks here at Chapel Oak Ridge. And we are just so glad to get to be here. Been looking forward to the revival. We closed out revival in Oklahoma Friday night and got home really, really late. Well, kind of, it was in the morning hours, but so we got a late start Saturday, but we're just, seemed like it got longer this time for some reason, but we finally made it. We're just glad to be here. Good to see each one of you, and just appreciate the accommodations made for us there in Evangelist Quarters, and we always enjoy coming here. And Brother Kegley had asked me about our van. You know, we're just so thankful that God has blessed us. You know, it may quit us, may not start in the morning. I don't know. And I told my wife on the way out here, I said, well, if worse comes to worse, we'll just take the government up on the cash for clunker thing. So anyway, but we are glad to be here. And God takes care of us, doesn't he? He takes care of us no matter what it is. So many areas in life, God meets the need always. And so we appreciate that. And I'm going to get my wife to go ahead and play. And glad she's able to be with me. And our kids got to come to our last revival because we was only about an hour away. And, man, I'd just like to load them up and bring them. But they got to work, make car payments, pay that insurance, cell phone bills. Praise God. Anyway, let's get in, worship the Lord. I appreciate what we feel tonight. Amen. I believe it's the will of God for us to have revival. Every one of us can have revival in our heart. All right, let's worship the Lord as she plays. know He's our King. And He is our King. And He reigns forevermore. Song said, He's my King to worship and adore. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to the book of Isaiah tonight, chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. I want to say again, we appreciate the invitation to be here this week. And just looking forward to what the Lord has for us. And I'd like to see somebody get saved. Somebody sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody healed. God can do it all, can't He? He doesn't have to take one night and save somebody and then the next night and heal somebody. Be all right if He does it that way. But He can do it all simultaneously. He can do it all at once. And I feel like tonight that we are needy people. We have needs spiritually. We have needs physically. And you have petitions before the Lord that you would like to see God move and meet those needs. And I really feel like that it's not impossible for us to see some of those things come to pass. Amen. But tonight I want to preach from Isaiah chapter number 2. And if you want to go there and follow along. Isaiah chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. Just a very simple text here tonight. Isaiah chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Notice this, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Now what I want us to look at here tonight, this chapter really is a prophetic chapter. It's a chapter of prophecy, and I'm not really a prophecy preacher, but what I try to relate to you tonight will be simply what I've tried to study and read for myself. I won't tell you that it's been divine revelation on my part, but just simply studying and trying to see what the prophet was meaning here. But notice here in verse number two, the writer said, It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And then verse number 3 actually is my text. This phrase, many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And I want to preach to us tonight, the beginning of this revival, on a vital attraction. A vital attraction. Now, just for a few minutes, I'll kind of lay a foundation concerning this prophecy. When you look at this prophecy here in Isaiah, it is a prophecy that is concerning the kingdom of the Messiah. And notice that the prophet talked about the last day. And listen, there is going to be a literal kingdom that's going to be set up someday. Jesus is actually, literally, going to reign. The Bible talked about the saints reigning with Him. There's going to be a literal kingdom. In the time of the disciples, they felt like that it was going to be at that particular time. And if you remember, there was some conversations that went on, and some of the disciples, was it Mary that asked Jesus who was going to sit at His right hand? And, you know, there was a kind of a discourse or a conversation that, because it really felt like that the Roman Empire at that particular time, which was really a tyrant and had oppressed Israel, they felt that Jesus was going to come and that he was there at that particular time to just overrule Rome and set up his literal kingdom then. But they didn't understand that it wasn't actually at that particular time. And so here in Isaiah, when he talks about the kingdom of the Messiah, he's talking about in the last days. Now, when this prophecy talks about the last days, it was pointing from that time when it was written to a future event. Could it be that we're in that last days? It possibly could be. Could it be that it's a little farther down the road? It could be. But nevertheless, it doesn't do away with the fact that there is going to be a literal kingdom that is going to be established. Now, I want to talk about, number one, the establishment of it. And notice here that the Bible referred to the mountain of the Lord's house, or he called it this, the house of the God of Jacob. And so it is certain tonight, church, that the house of the Lord literally is going to be established, namely, at Jerusalem. All commentators and scholars feel like that the kingdom is going to be literally set up there, right at Jerusalem. And we know that Jerusalem is a very important place on God's time clock and on God's map, and everything is centered around Jerusalem. But there's going to be a literal kingdom that is going to be established. It's going to be the center of all converted nations, and the Bible said in this prophecy that they're going to flow to it, or they're going to flock together. Now, I want to say that right now, in this dispensation that we're living in, thank God that Jesus has established the church of the living God. And I'm glad that I'm a part of that church. If you're saved tonight and you're redeemed, your sins are washed away, amen, and you've accepted Jesus Christ, amen, as your personal Lord and Savior, amen, you're in the greatest institution that there is, and that is the church of the living God. Not just Chapel Oak Ridge is singled out specifically on this little ridge or this mountain, and not Iron Post Free Holiness Church, where our home church is in Oklahoma, but all the believers together, all of those that are blood-bought and redeemed are a part, amen, of the church of the living God, which is incorporated by Christ, amen. And listen, I want you to know that this isn't the end of the church. Praise God. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen in days to come. I don't know what's going to happen in this administration or the next administration, but this is not the end of the church. Praise God. The church is going to be triumphant. Everybody that is a part of the church is going to be triumphant and be victorious. Thank God. Amen. But what we have yet to see literally as far as a literal kingdom, amen, we do see spiritually firmly fixed and rooted and grounded in Christ. Amen. That spiritual church, the body of believers, amen, built upon a rock. And Jesus said, amen, that he was that rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, you know, we gather together tonight on this mountain, and here we are, we're having revival, and we know the world is going on, and the decisions in the government seem like are making decisions, our lawmakers are making decisions that seem like adversely are affecting the church, but yet the church is going to be established. Amen. The Bible said, amen, that in the mountain of the Lord's house, amen, shall be established in the top of the mountains. And so we got to understand here tonight, amen, that there is going to be a church and that there is going to be a kingdom. Right, you know, it seems like in our last few years or span of time, Brother Kegley, we've seen other religions that seem like they have surfaced and seem like they are growing as far as members. They're building mosques and they're building places of worship, and we're seeing other religions that are growing. But don't be afraid tonight, because the church, amen, is always going to be elevated above, amen, every other false religion that there is. Come on now. Now I know that statement there, in some people's eyes, they would say that I was a bigot, or that I was preaching hate. Amen. I'm preaching the Bible tonight, and I'm preaching fact. Amen. That number one, that the church of the living God is going to be established. Amen. Jesus said it's going to be built upon the fact, amen, that he was the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And so not only do we see the establishment of it, amen, you
you mark it down, my friend. God's church ain't going nowhere. Amen. And not only that, amen, but it said it's going to be built in the top of the mountains, which really signifies to us that the church of the living God is going to be elevated. Amen. So now I want to talk about the elevation of it. Amen. It shall be established, amen, in the tops of the mountains. And again, the prophecy is now revealing, amen, it's still talking about that literal temple, amen, built probably upon Mount Moriah, amen, built in a place to be seen, in a place, amen, that could be discerned. And could we say tonight that the house of the Lord or the church, amen, is settled and built in a place, amen, that is most glorious, amen. Thank God the church tonight, amen, is advanced and exalted, amen, above all other kingdoms, and thank God it is built upon that rock. Amen. There's a lot of other religions that are advancing. Amen. But the church is going to be elevated above all of that. Amen. And even though we may see a time of persecution, amen, we may feel that we are adversely affected. Amen. Living right here in America, amen, that was founded on godly principles. Amen. But yet if the Lord tarries, we may see some of those liberties and privileges and freedoms, amen, that are hampered and strained and even taken away from us. Amen. But still, my friend, amen, brother, when the dust settles, amen, the church is going to be elevated above, amen, every other lie, amen, every other false Christ and false God. Amen. God said my church, amen, number one's going to be established, and then I'm going to elevate it. Amen. Did you know tonight that if you're part of the church of the living God, amen, brother, you're the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. He ain't going to leave the church, amen, down on the bottom, but he's going to elevate us. Amen. The church is going to be elevated, amen, above all other kingdoms, above all other false religions. Amen. The church tonight, amen, is that fortress, amen, that is immovable. Thank God tonight I can say that the church of the living God, as gloomy and dark and stormy as it gets, it's going to shine, amen, brighter and brighter, amen, as the Lord tarries. So I want you to be encouraged tonight, friend. Amen. Listen, you know, for years I've heard about oppression. Amen. From the government. And amen. We were raised up, you know, I don't know where I was. We are always warned about the end of time, and I don't know how you feel about it. You cannot go wrong looking for the coming of the Lord. I understand that. Amen. And I do look for him. And the Bible said for us to look up. Amen. For our redemption draweth nigh. Come on now. Amen. But listen, I want to encourage the church. Amen. That even if, amen, one by one they wiped us off the face, amen, of the American map, amen, the church of the living God is still going to be established. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Look for how many centuries, amen, that they've tried to annihilate, amen, Israel. Amen. But God's going to have, amen, a chosen people. And somehow you and I, amen, that are Gentiles, that has been grafted into the family of God. Amen. Brother, you stay saved and you stay a part of the church, you're going to be established. You're going to be elevated. Amen. God thinks so much, amen, about his people and his children, amen, that he ain't gonna let any other religion, amen, be exalted, amen, above them forever. It's going to be established, and it's going to be elevated. It's gonna shine, hallelujah, with a greater luster, amen, than any other religion that there is. And so the church, my friend, it's not going down and it ain't going out. It's gonna be established. Somebody say amen here tonight. It's gonna be established. Amen. Then he said it's going to be built in the top of the mountains. Amen. It's going to be elevated. Amen. Where folks can flow unto it. Where it's going to be discerned. Amen. Easily to be seen. But really what I want to preach to us tonight about, amen, is what is found in verse number 3. Amen. When all the people said, amen, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Amen. Brother Dave, there was an attraction there. Oh, glory to God. Amen. There was an establishment. Amen. There was an elevation of the church. Amen. But listen, my friend. Amen. There was an attraction there. Amen. Come and let us go up. Amen. To the mountain of the Lord. Now in the last few days, amen, before coming out here, I got my last year's calendar, and I just kind of skimmed over some of the thoughts that I had while I was here last year, and some of the messages that was preached last year, and some of the services, amen, that we had last year, amen. And in my own mind, Brother Kegley, I didn't want to feel, amen, that I was repetitious, amen. But I do say tonight, church, amen, that it is vital, amen, that we be attracted, amen, to the mountain of the Lord. Come on now. Amen. How many would say that this world isn't getting any better? Come on now. Amen. And there are some things out there, amen, that attract us. But brother, they're fatal attractions. Amen. But what I'm preaching tonight, amen, about the house of the Lord, and come and let us go up. Amen. In the time of the fulfilling of this prophecy, there's going to be Gentiles and Jews alike, amen, that are converted, and they come to Christ, when we're going to reign. Amen. They're going to flow into it. But I want to say right now, amen, in this revival, amen, my friend, if you're going to have revival, amen, if you're going to have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival, you got to be attracted to it. You got to have a desire for it. Amen. Brother, I can't drive you up the mountain. I can't poke and prod and beat you up the mountain. I can't sing you high, amen, and preach you high. But if you look up and see the house of God, and see the things of God, let there be a desire, let there be attraction that settles down over us until we are attracted, amen, to the things of God. And everybody shout amen. You got to be attracted to this. When Brother Kegley rescheduled us to come a few days ago, when Brother Teague was here, and I don't know about other revivals you may have had earlier in the year, it's not all in just printing up some flyers and say, oh boy, we're going to have a revival. We're going to turn on the lights. We're going to call in an evangelist. We're going to set aside a special time. All of those are preliminary things that we have to do so we can kind of schedule, amen, a revival where it would fit for everybody, and still it don't fit, amen, all the time for everybody. Amen. But listen, it's more to planning. Amen. It's more than scheduling. It's more than just calling someone in. Amen. Because listen, all of those things can happen and yet us not be attracted to the mountain of the Lord, and we will absolutely get nowhere. Amen. In this meeting. Come on now. Amen. But did anybody say or hear, amen, that they were saying, come, amen, and let us go up? Amen. There's something in that mountain, amen, that I'm attracted to. Can I say tonight, my friend, that it is time, and it is high time, amen, that we pray back through until we are attracted to the things of God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I say tonight, come and let us go up. I say tonight, amen, there's a higher, amen, ground. There's a higher place in God. Amen, brother. Amen, it is the mountain of God. How many would say tonight that it is evidently beneficial, amen, to this church, to every preacher, every mom, dad, boy, and girl, if they'll be attracted, amen, to the things of God? Oh, glory to God. I say tonight it's vital. And we become attracted to the house of God. You see, there are fatal attractions. The Bible warns us about being drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And a lot of times when we think of that lust, we think of some immoral lifestyle as far as a perversion, amen, but there can be an attraction and a desire for things, amen, that may not necessarily be sin, but they can become sin. Come on now. Y'all gonna help me preach here tonight? Oh, glory to God. Amen. I'm talking about those fatal attractions, amen, that we continually have to combat, amen, and ward off and pray off, amen. Be not drawn away of our own lust, amen. The Bible talked about that sin, amen. Every man commits sin. Amen. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen. Jesus talked. Amen. And warned us against the world. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the what? The love of the Father is not in him. Come on now. Amen. Amen. The lust of the eye. Amen. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Amen. These are all things, amen, that are fatal. Come on now. Amen. But I'm talking tonight about something that is vital. Amen. That attraction. Amen. That drawing. Amen. That longing. Amen. That yearning. That desire to go up into the mountain of God. Is there anybody in this house that'd like to go up to the mountain of God? Would you like to go up in this revival and go a little higher in this meeting? Hallelujah. But listen, you got to be attracted to it in your own heart. You ever seen anybody play matchmaker? They try to put a boy and a girl together. There's no attraction. Come on now. It's like trying to stick them two magnets together. They push away. Come on now. Amen. Well, the same principle is when you got a preacher, amen, trying to tell you how good it is to have revival. Or you got a pastor trying to tell you how much you benefit by moving up. But you got to be attracted to him. Amen. There's got to be a change in our heart. Amen. Until we are attracted to the things of God. Did you know tonight that all over this country there's people, amen, that don't have a care in the world as far as living for God or going to the house of God? Amen. The entertainment places will be filled. The parks will be filled. The restaurants will be filled. Amen. The mall is populated tonight. But there's no attraction, amen, for the house of God. There's no attraction, amen, to the things of God. Amen. Now, if you're here tonight, you're here. And we're thankful that you are here. Amen. But listen, even after you get here, there still has to be an attraction and a desire. Oh, glory to God. I wish somebody would shout amen here tonight. Amen. The Bible said, come and let us go up. And Brother Kegley, that is my prayer. Amen. The Chapel Oak Ridge. Amen. Let's go up. Amen. Let's not miss it. Let's not sit back. Let's not draw back. Amen. Let's go up. Where we're going. Where are we going, preacher? We're going to the mountain of God. We're going to the house of the God of Jacob. We're going where the blessing is. Where revival is. Where the power of God is. Come and let us go up. It's a vital attraction tonight. I think that it is vital. It is more vital than a lot of things that we deem necessary. Come on now. Some things, amen, that we want, some things that we have, some things that we desire, amen, are really not necessary. But this is vital tonight, that you be attracted to the house of God. Now, I'm not talking about just coming here and having good fellowship and socializing. And, amen. Many of you are family, and it's a very pleasant thing for a family to be able to go to church at the same church. That's a very pleasant thing. Amen. Because I've been in some places where the family couldn't even, amen, have church together, much less Thanksgiving and Christmas. Come on now. And so for many of you, it's a pleasant thing, amen, to come together. But I'm not just talking about coming to the house, amen, physically and literally and sitting on pews and shaking hands. But when I talk about the house of God, I'm talking about that place that's way up on the mountain. Amen. That place that is higher. Amen. Where the things of God. Amen. Well, you may say tonight, amen, preacher, what advantage would it be for me to go higher? Amen. I live holy. Amen. I dress the standard. Amen. I've been here for years. Amen. I'm a member here. I give in the offerings. I visit the sick. Amen. What advantage would there be? Amen. Well, the Bible said, amen, that if you get up where God is, amen, that he'll teach you his ways, amen, and you'll walk walk, amen, in his paths. Is there anybody in this house tonight, amen, that desires, amen, the mountain of the Lord? I said, do you desire it? Is it on your mind every day when you get up and your feet hit the ground? Amen, are you attracted? Amen, do you desire? Amen, do you yearn? I say tonight, come. I say tonight, come. Come and let us, amen, let us go up into the mountain of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. You see, I'm not overlooking the fact that we have the cares of life and the burdens of life and the afflictions of life that are apt to weigh us down. And sometimes, Brother Randy, the wings of our spirit, amen, is so heavy with what is going on in our life that oftentimes it's hard for us to soar. It's hard for us to rise. It's hard for us to get above, amen, this world and its problems. Amen, our soul at times cannot rise higher because of the grievous afflictions, amen, that is going on in our life. Amen, sorrow oftentimes has kept me from the summit. Amen, sometimes, amen, horrible conditions, amen, hinder, amen, us from going to the heights. Amen, but here's what I want to tell you tonight. Amen. We cannot allow the adversary, amen, to alter, amen, our attraction for the things of God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Sometimes the sorrow, amen, keeps us from the summit. And sometimes the grievous afflictions weigh down our spirit. And it's in that time that the enemy will say, it ain't worth the journey. It ain't worth ascending. It ain't worth raising your hands. It ain't worth singing a song. It ain't worth praying the prayer. Come on, my friend. But I say tonight, amen, let's go up. Amen, let's go higher. Amen, come and let us go up into the mountain of God. Hallelujah. Maybe tonight you're at a place right now where you just don't feel like going higher. Well, we've all been there. But I'm saying it's vital. I said it is vital that you become attracted to this. It is vital that you say, well, I've been around this all my life. Hey, man, I know it like the back of my hand. But are you attracted to it? Are you doing it simply out of religious duty? Come on, or is there a pious passion there? Hey, amen, that if you go one service without ascending to the mountain of God, that you miss it. Oh, come on now. Amen, and you long for it. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, the adversary, amen, would alter our attraction. Oh, glory to God. Did you know that I have a preacher friend that really is a good preacher, has a good church, has a good strong attendance in his church. Amen. He has a good, well-balanced congregation. He has elders. He has teenagers. He has young married. I mean, just a wealth of potential. But he's also a builder. And he's built a lot of homes. I mean, a lot of homes. He's bought land and developed it and sold and built and all of those things. Brother Kegley, there was a time, amen, when problems came into his church. Amen. Things began to happen in the church. Amen. People were affected. Amen. The attendance kind of slacked off a little bit. Amen. There was a little bickering and a little trouble here and there. And he said one night he went outside and he thought about building and he thought about the houses and the land. And he thought it seemed like that he'd really been successful at that. And so the devil came to him and said, since your church is having trouble and people are having trouble, why don't you let the church go to the back burner and you focus more on building? You focus more on developing. Come on now. Amen. But here's what he said. He said, all of a sudden, when I looked at that, and he said, I got my bearings. Amen. I realized that God had called me to be a preacher. Amen. And not a builder. And what the devil was wanting was him to alter his attraction for the things of God. And anybody shout amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, it's the things of God. It's the house of God. It's revival. It's the Spirit of God. That's where we're going. We ain't going to the county fair. We're going to the mountain of God's house. We ain't going to the carnival. We're going to the mountain of God's house. Amen. We got to have a desire and an attraction. I say, come and let us go up. You going to go up tonight? I can't drag you up. I can't poke and prod you.
I can't push you up. Brother, when you get an attraction for it, we might not get through the first song. Woo! Hallelujah. You get an attraction for it, we might not know who's going to be the preacher. You get an attraction for it, you might not be here 5 minutes late like I show up sometimes. My father-in-law the other night said, this is the earliest I've been late in a long time. Glory to God. Amen. But when you get an attraction for it, amen, there'll be a desire. Amen. All day long, the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob, the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob, that elevated place. Amen. Listen, church, that's what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. That elevated place. That's where we need to go with this revival. That's where you need to go in your own life. That's where I need to go in my own experience. And I don't want the adversary to alter, amen, my attraction, amen, to God's mountain. It is vital that I'm attracted to the things of God. Hallelujah. Now, Spurgeon one time talked about an eagle. And he talked about an eagle that was chained to a rock. Now, listen. It is in the nature of that eagle that he fly, that he soar, that he sail toward the sun. It is in his very nature. He's attracted to leaping off of a precipice. He's attracted to spreading his wings out on nothing. Amen. He yearns and desires and longs for that. But Spurgeon said that once, amen, that he saw an eagle that was chained to a rock. Come on now. Amen. And he could tell. The story said that in that eagle's heart, amen, he was attracted. If I could just get off of this rock and sail, if I could get out into that nothingness, amen, and spread my wings and so. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Now, the ostrich, he might not be so quick to jump off the bluff and spread his wings. Come on now. But the eagle, amen, brother, he was made to soar. But here's what Spurgeon said about that eagle that was chained to that rock. He said, unlike the eagle, he said, sometimes we get chained to a rock, but we're in love with our chain. Woo! Come on now. We have a revival. We have an opportunity to soar. We kind of love what's holding us down. Come on now. Y'all here tonight? We're in love with our chain. God says you could soar if you could cut loose from that. God says you could fly high if you could cut loose from that. Amen. God says, amen, that there's an elevated place for you if you could cut loose from that. Amen. You know what I say tonight? Amen. We need to divorce ourselves from the things that are binding us. Amen. And holding us down. And anybody shout amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. What has a greater attraction? Amen. The chain or the things of God? What are you more attracted to? What do you long and desire for? Amen. That chain, is it a thing of the world? Is it somebody in the world? Is it something of the world? I'm telling you tonight, my friend, when God saved you, amen, you're a new creature, and you're made to fly. You're made to sail. You're made to soar. Not sit on a church pew and twiddle your thumbs, and revivals of dread in the house of God. Amen. It's dry as cracker juice. Amen, brother, when you're attracted, amen, to the things of God, there'll be a wheel within a wheel. There'll be something in your heart that'll begin to turn and churn and yearn until you want to go up. Woo, hallelujah. How many like to go up tonight? Are you in love with your chain? Is it a pleasure? Is it a passion? Is it worldliness? Is it world-likeness? Is it a sin? Amen. That eagle, he didn't love his chain. But I've looked at some people, I could tell, they had a fatal attraction instead of a vital attraction. Several years ago, sitting in our little church, several years ago, we had a young man who was called to preach. The anointing of God was on his life. His home was broken. Things didn't look very promising. Amen. But nevertheless, the call of God was on his life. His wife had left him. It was a terrible, terrible situation. But then, it seemed like through several different events, that took place in his life, I noticed when the attraction changed, he used to sit right over there on that little side bench. And before he got saved, he was big into rodeo. Now, this was just his conviction. He wouldn't wear his boots and he wouldn't wear his jeans to church and his belt buckles because that reminded him of something that was his attraction before. But when he began to call to preach, he just felt in his own life, amen, that he would lay those things down. Now don't leave here tonight saying, Brother Kevin said it's a sin to wear boots. That's not what I said. Amen. But for him, he laid those things down. But then, amen, he got to frequenting a little convenience store, and his wife had left him, and he got to just casually becoming friendly with the girl there. She was a nice lady, amen, and those kinds of things. But there was a relationship that began to develop there out of the will of God, amen, and all of a sudden the vital attraction, amen, was altered, and there was a fatal attraction that slipped in, amen, and took hold of his life. Amen. Listen, until today, he is far, far from God. That marriage, amen, is now almost, amen, been dissolved several times. Amen. There's drug problems. Amen. There's terrible things. There's slurred speech. There's rotten teeth. Come on now. Amen. What are you saying, brother? Amen. I'm telling you, when you have, amen, a fatal attraction, it overcomes this vital attraction. Amen. It's very damning. It's very damaging, amen, to your heart and your soul, amen. All I'm saying tonight is come, amen, let's go up to the mountain of God, amen. Loose yourself from that chain, loose yourself from that thing that's weighted you down. Let's go up. It's the things of God. It's revival. It's the power of God. Is anybody attracted to the house of God? Woo!
I think of that old song, higher and higher every day. Brighter and brighter grows the way. Basking in his love of the one above. I'm moving higher every day. A lot of people are moving, but they're moving in a wrong direction. Amen. They're moving all right, but they're sliding. And they're slipping. And they're falling. And they're going back. Oh, come on, church. Amen. I say tonight, amen, that it is vitally important in this revival, amen, that we become attracted. Amen. All nations were flowing to it. Amen. All nations were going to it. Amen, brother. They were yearning. They were longing. Amen. To go up. Amen. To the mountain of God. Hallelujah. One story said that in the valleys of Switzerland years ago, many inhabitants were sick, deformed in their appearance because in the atmosphere it was stagnant and diseased and tainted. And they would breathe in that stagnant atmosphere. And it affected the whole community until there were many that were sickly and deformed and diseased. But the story said, up on top of the mountain was a community, and they were healthy. They were not deformed. They were not diseased. They didn't limp. Their appearance was energetic and vigorous and robust and strong. Because up on that alpine summit, they breathed air that was pure air and clean air, not stagnant, not tainted, and not diseased. Amen. And here's what the man said. He said, if those that dwelt in the valley, amen, of stagnant atmosphere and diseased air, could only make their way to the top of that summit, amen, and then say, I'll live here. Come on now. Amen. That they would move out, amen, of that disease. They would move out of that stagnation. Amen. And they too would become, amen, elevated above, amen, those sickening elements. Oh, glory to God. It would bring them to health. And you know what, tonight, church, in that really elementary illustration, amen, I can tell you in my own life that when I move
moved out of the valley and started moving up to where God was, I got stronger. Oh, come on now. I got a praise back. I got a shout back. I got my song back. And that's what I'm saying tonight. Amen. Come. Amen. Come. I wish tonight in your sleep, it echo in your mind, let us go up. I wish all day tomorrow, you'd pray, let us go up. Amen. To the mountain of the Lord. And everybody shout amen. It is a vital, vital, vital attraction in this revival. Revelation. God spoke to John and said, come up hither and I'll show you things. Hallelujah. We live in darkness sometimes because we never go up. We never go higher. Amen. There are revelations when we ascend. Amen. But we've got to be attracted to it. We have got to be attracted to it, oh God. Hallelujah. A better perspective and a clearer view. Amen. We can attain, but we've got to be attracted to it. I got an uncle that lives down the road from me. I probably told you about him. He's never been married. He's an old country boy. If he's got coffee and dog food, and Skoll, he's living. That's all. I mean, he got two or three hounds out there. He's an old coon hunter. He's an old bachelor. Lives by himself. He don't even have a car. He don't have a truck. I took my old flopping 88 Chevy pickup down there one time and said, look, I'll let you pay me $100 a month. I'll sell it to you for $1,000 because I want you to have something in case something goes wrong. I don't need no truck. I'll just call Jim. He'll come and get me. Or I'll call Annie or one of the girls. He'll come up here. You know, he ain't even 50 years old yet, and he lives like he's 85. Just an old bachelor. He ain't never been nowhere. I can tell him about places I've been. I can tell him about, you know, the St. Louis Arch, and I can tell him about the Royal Gorge in Canyon City, Colorado. I can tell him about the Grand Canyon. I can tell him about heights and places we've been, the mountains. I can tell him about going up on Johnson Park, 14 or 20 miles up one road, and finally break out into a meadow and a little stream up there where you could take a piece of cheese, put it on a hook, and throw it out and catch a little trout. I mean, that snap of your fingers. I can tell him about all that, and he'll just spit in his old can and say, yep, I believe I'll stay around here in Cherokee County. Sister Mag, there ain't no attraction there. Come on now. I mean, he goes to the mailbox and back. Amen. My cousin comes and picks him up for work every day. Amen. And that's all he's attracted to. Amen. Brother, he don't care. Amen. He even wants me to bring him back a coon dog on this trip. Amen. But he wouldn't go get one himself. Amen. He don't want to leave. He don't want to go nowhere. Amen. He likes it right there. Amen. And Steely Holler. Come on. That might be all right for living in this world. But brother, when you're trying to go to heaven, you got to have more desire than being where you are. You got to have more of an attraction than living right there. That's sitting on a pew and do nothing. That sing a few songs. That pray a little prayer. I say, let's go up. I say, let's go higher. Amen. Let's get a burning desire. Amen. To go somewhere with God. Hallelujah. Let's stand all over the building tonight. God bless you. Ecclesiastes 12 and 5 said this. Amen. Ecclesiastes said this. Sister Teresa, come if you would. It said this. Now, here was a preacher talking in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And here's what he said. He was describing how our bodies age. And they deteriorate. And they get weak and they get frail. And here's what he said. He talked a lot of things. He talked about the grinders that cease. You know, that's probably talking about our teeth. He talks about the aging process. Amen. And just a lot of things. But then he says this. He said, and they shall be afraid of that which is high. Come on now. Now, I'm not an old man. I'm not just super, super young, but amen. There was a time when I was in carpentry work a lot. It didn't bother me to jump up on an 8-foot wall, walk a plate, and drag trusses, set the trusses. It didn't bother me to sling a piece of decking up, nail it off.
It didn't bother me. But now, this right here is just a little bit high. I think I'll step down a notch. Amen. But it says when you get older, it's harder to get high. Come on now. Amen. It's harder to walk on smooth ground because you get frail and you're weak and you're aging. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. And so then when we go high, we start reaching for something to hang on to. Amen. And he said that they were afraid of that which is high. He's describing the aging process in the body. But did you know we could apply that to our spiritual man? When our spiritual experience gets old and weak and frail, I've wondered why some people act like they're afraid of the Holy Ghost. They act like they're afraid of revival. They act like they're afraid to shout, amen, and shine. Amen. They're afraid to worship God. Amen. Listen, when your spiritual man gets old and frail, amen, he don't want to move up. Amen. Come on. He don't want to go higher. He's afraid of that which is most high. Amen. But I say here tonight, amen, I want you to focus on that verse number 3. Amen. When all the people said, amen, come and let us go up. Amen. Come and let us go up. Amen. Brother Dave, you get high enough, amen, and you'll influence somebody else. Come and let's go up. Amen. Brother Elmer, you get high enough and I get high enough. Amen. Sister, you get it going up, you'll reach back and tell somebody else. Come on, let's go up. Amen. The young folk get to going up. They'll grab the elders and say, let's go up. Amen. Let's go higher. Amen. But it's got to be a vital attraction in your heart. It is vital tonight that we are attracted to this. It's vital. It's vital within our relationship and our marriage that we continue to be attracted to one another. It's vital that our attraction for the things of God, amen, is passionate. Oh, God. Because, you know, a lot of times we go back to that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But when he's attracted to that, they'll put that nose in the air. Come on now. Those animals, they've got that sense of smell that is heightened. Amen. Those cows, that herd out on the cattle trail in the desert, put that nose in the air. What Job say? Through the scent of water, that tree that's been cut down, praise God. Amen. But there's an attraction to that. And that's all I'm preaching tonight in simplicity, really, on the first night of this revival. I'm believing the Lord to take us higher. I really am. But you got to want to go. Come on now, I said you got to want to go higher. Amen. If you're saved, sanctified and satisfied, and you don't see a need, amen, well, don't get in the way, all right, because we want to go higher. There's some of us that want to go higher in God. Let's gather in around the altar tonight. God bless you. Amen. Come and let us go up. In this revival, come and let us go up to the mountain of God. Come and let us go up. Come and let us go up. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Let's go up. Are you attracted to it tonight? Are you attracted to it? Are you attracted to it? Come on, you got to be attracted to it.
Lord, lift me up.
Oh, it's my desire,
and
Lord.
Let me stand.
It's my desire, God.
My faith on him.
Touch the young folks, God.
A
touch the
table
elders.
A higher place.
A higher place.
All that I have.
Come and let us go up.
Lord, plant my feet.
Come on, Mama, go up.
On
come on, Daddy, go up.
Higher ground.
Come on, young man, go higher in God.
I'm pressing
come on, young lady, on. Let's go up. Let's draw closer to God. Let's draw near to the Lord. Come on, let's go high. Come and let us go up into the mountain of God. He'll teach us his ways.
Day,
he'll walk in his paths. Amen. We'll learn of him. It'll benefit us. It'll bless us.
I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Come on, that's right. Let's go up.
Lord,
are you attracted
lift
to
me
it?
Up.
Don't be in love with your chain tonight.
Let me
don't be in love
stand.
With your chain tonight. Amen. Separate yourself from that thing that's holding you down. Separate yourself
yourself from that person that's holding you down. Separate yourself from that pleasure that's holding you down. Divorce yourself from that hobby. Oh, that habit that may be holding you in the valley. Amen. That is stagnant disease. Move on out of the valley. Lift
me
up. Amen. Move up to higher ground tonight, friends. Move up to higher ground tonight,
friends.
Oh, we must have that vital attraction. It's vital.
A higher place.
It's important. It's necessary that we be attracted to the things of God.
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no
Lord to God.
Desire to stay.
Hallelujah.
And fears dismay.
Of Jacob.
Plant my feet.
Ask God to lead and
on
you. Ask God to speak to your heart.
Ground.
Amen. Because, Lord, I want to go higher.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
That's right. Come on.
Faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane.
Lord, just a higher plane.
That I have found. I want to live above this world.
Come on, don't you want to live above the world
tonight? Satan's darts.
Aren't you tired of living in the lowlands?
Aren't
you tired of dwelling in the lowlands?
Uncalled.
Aren't you tired of living in the valley?
Joyful sound.
Oh, multitudes and multitudes are living in the valley of decision.
On higher ground. Faith on heaven's
tableland. It's vital. We'll die. We'll never go higher if we're not attracted to it. We'll never move up. We'll never draw nigh.
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on I want to scale.
Thank you, Lord, for being chained.
The utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. Still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Plant my feet on. Oh. and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stay. Faith on heaven's table and a higher place that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Faith on heaven's table and a higher place that I have found. Lord, plant my feet. Joyful sound, the song of saints.